Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to our latest New York Now podcast. I'm Matt Ryan. Growing up in the Rochester area, I devoured local TV news and sports as a kid, way before I even knew it was the profession I wanted to pursue. One of the on-air people I would watch was the sports director at the then CBS affiliate, an individual who had one of the best TV names out there, Rich Funky. He was an institution in the market, spending nearly 40 years at Channel 10 before retiring in 2012. 2 years later, he was running for the state Senate seat there, occupied by freshman Democrat Ted O'Brien. Funky won with 56% of the vote and is now in his second term. I sat down with the senator recently in his office to discuss, of course, politics, but also his views on the profession he was a part of for so many years that is now under attack by President Trump. And maybe a little Buffalo Bills talk. You retired from Channel 10 in 2012 after decades covering the local news and sports scene.
Thanks, Matt. You make me feel really old. Decades.
And then you decided to run for state Senate less than 2 years later. I mean, was it a bad retirement, or was there something else that was pushing you into public office?
Yeah, I think when you're in broadcasting, you're involved in a lot of public service projects and issues anyway, because you're asked to emcee so many different things. So you get really a firsthand look at different agencies, whether it's Camp Good Days and Special Times, mm-hmm. or Cancer Action, Gilda's Club, Ronald McDonald House, and things of that nature. So, you know, you begin to understand your community at a different level. And then, you know, my 30 years in the sports side, you know, I was probably in every community in my district, you know, multiple times in their gymnasiums, interacting with their athletes' parents and so on and so forth. So you get to know your community pretty well. And, you know, when you come to the end of the road, so to speak, on the broadcasting side, and I did want to retire. But I flunked retirement. I got approached to run for the county legislature. Was the first thing that people suggested I might want to do. And I talked to my wife about it, and I said, "Well, look, it's kind of a part-time gig. You know, it'll be fine. I get to represent my community a little bit, and stay engaged with the issues, and stay engaged with my town, and all that kind of stuff." Well, then Senator Nozzolio heard that I was thinking about running for the county legislature, and he invited me to lunch, and he said, "Well, you know, we have this Senate seat that we we would like to take back.
We're
wondering if you'd like to consider running for the Senate." And I said, "Gee," I went back, talked to my wife. I said, "Now they want me to run for the Senate." I said, "I don't know. Things are happening pretty fast here." And we came to the conclusion, if you were going to put yourself out there for public office and you really wanted to make a difference, and you could make a difference for more people, then why not, you know, take the leap? I had some gas left in the tank, and
it's good sports cliche to use,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had a little gas left, so that's what we did. We were fortunate to be successful, and here we are. But I think I've always said to people, I think there are transferable skills involved mm-hmm. from being in the media to going into public office, because, you know, in the media, you are out there. I mean, you know, where everywhere you go, people recognize you. And how do you deal with that? And that's an important part of politics, I think, too.
That, sure. Like you said, one mistake in the media, you know, it's kind of like one mistake as a politician. It's tough to overcome depending on
that's right.
you know, what it is.
That's right. I mean, I always told my children, I said, you know, it costs you nothing and it takes no energy to smile and say hello to somebody. And, you know, when you're in a popularity game like in broadcasting, you know, you have to be careful about how you conduct yourself on the outside, you know, whether you're shopping at Wegmans or whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing.
As a journalist, you were supposed to be fair and balanced, right, as the saying goes. But were you worried at all when you came out that people would be aghast? You know, you were this nonpartisan person.
Oh, God, he's a Republican.
Oh, my God, he's a Republican. Or, yeah. You know, if you were a Democrat, the same. But did that cross your mind at all?
Well, I mean, my philosophy has always been, you know, what it is. It's the way I was raised, you know. You know, we used to have a general manager in broadcasting. He said, you know, "My door is always open." I said, "Yeah, but your mind is closed." So, you know, let's do both, you know, and that's the way we approach it here. Keep your mind open. You know, politics is supposed to be the great art of compromise, and I think along the way we've lost our way a little bit in that regard. So I try to keep an open mind on every issue. We meet with everybody. Don't necessarily agree with everybody. But you try to keep a good read on your constituency. What are they thinking about in Victor? What's important to them in Irondequoit and in Ontario County? So, you know, I think we do that through our surveys that we send out and communicate with people. So you get a read on them and you understand, you know, what they want. Because at the end of the day, I represent them.
Yeah. You know?
It's not about me. It's about them. This is an incredible opportunity. I will cherish it forever to be able to be down here, to be a part of this, to work with the people that I work with. It's been fantastic.
It's my hope that it'll be John DeFrancisco. And that's who I'm supporting.
After you were officially sworn in, you were a witness to one of the craziest legislative sessions in modern history, one that saw both legislative leaders get indicted, including Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos. You know, then the tables were flipped on you, right? You used to be the guy putting your microphone into a big gaggle by Jim Kelly now.
Right.
You come off the Senate elevator, and all of a sudden, folks like me are sticking the microphone in your face saying, who are you going to support? Who are you going to support? What do you remember about that time? I mean, it's just, you know, months into your job here.
You know, one of the things I remember, Matt, was the fact that I had covered things like this in broadcasting, and you knew how they were going to end. You just kind of did,
yes.
You know, and you said, you know, I said at the time, as soon as it happened, I said, Dean Skelos needs to step aside as our leader right now. We need to have a new leader because this is not going to end well. And even if it does end well for Dean, and I certainly hoped that it would, we were all going to be tainted and tarnished by this circumstance. So let's get a new leader, so that we can keep moving forward. And that was like, wow, he was like one of the first guys that came out and said that Dean, I knew he couldn't have stepped down because he hadn't been found guilty of anything, but to step aside as leader I thought was important at that time. But to be on the other side of the, the other side of the camera was a little bit, it was a little different, that's for sure, and it still is, in a way.
Mm-hmm. You represent the 55th Senate District, which if you look at it, it's not as gerrymandered as some of these legislative districts around the state. It includes really the most important village in the state, and maybe America, and that's, of course, the village of Victor, my hometown. But that being aside, what are some of the important issues that your constituents are talking to you about? Can you give me a specific example of someone asking you or making a comment or asking you a question recently?
Yeah, well, let me just say that my district, I think, is one of the most diverse in the state because, you know, from Irondequoit through a good part of the city of Rochester, through the P-towns, Perrington, Pittsford, Penfield. So when you look at that, and then all the way down to Naples in Ontario County. So when you look at that district, you realize right away that I represent some of the wealthiest people in our community and some of the abject poorest, right? So you have a wide range of issues that you have to deal with, everything from child care subsidies, you know, to business tax breaks, right? So there's a wide range of things to discuss. Education is a big issue as well. You know, how much, you know, talk about the Victor School District, which has grown, but hasn't been able to, you know, the revenue stream hasn't kept up necessarily with the growth. So although we've done a good job, I think, as Senate Republicans, you know, raising aid to education by 30% since the time that I've been here, I think we're trying to fix all those problems. But you know, I think one of the things that comes up quite a bit is the struggle in our upstate economy. Certainly, business. How does business advance? How do we grow jobs? How do we, you know, get people back to work? And that also includes workforce development. We know that there are jobs available in our community that are going unfilled because young people are not there's not that skilled workforce that we need.
These dishonest people up here don't tell you. I mean, I just watched. Now, these are the most dishonest people. They're terrible.
Let's shift the conversation back to the media. We hear a lot about the term fake news. President Trump has gone out of his way at times to rip the press, starting when he was on his campaign trail, and then to calling the press the enemy just a short while ago. I wonder, as a former journalist, I mean, how does that make you feel when you see that?
Well, you know, the media's changed. You know, when I started in broadcasting, you know, we did a 6 and 11 o'clock newscast. That was it. We were filmed. And you had opportunities between the time the film went in the soup to be processed, to get your facts right, to get your story written properly, to fact check, to make phone calls, to do all these different things. I've seen a change in broadcasting that's unbelievable. You know, we can be live wherever we want to be live, and we can, you know, we can put reporters in front of a fire that, you know, they don't have a chance to go back and you know, get the details on the fire, because the news director wants them to be out, live right now. And I'm here live, but I really don't have anything to tell you. So, I look at all of this on the broad scope. 24-hour news cycles have changed dramatically, how we watch television and how the flow of the news goes. Mm-hmm. When you think back when journalism began, it was an opinionated industry, right? Every newspaper that was ever printed was printed because it was opinion. And I think we're more and more getting in that direction. So you've got, one network on one side, you got another network on the other side, and one that claims that they're down the middle, and none of it's true. Because, it really comes down to you, an individual journalist, how fair and balanced they want to be, and what they subscribe to, and the tenets of journalism that you learned, in school, and all those kinds of things. So it's just a different world out there today. So those who read one side are going to rah-rah that side. One who read the other, they're going to rah-rah that side. One would only hope that the consumer of that information is going to read both sides.
Yeah, and, ideally.
ideally, and come up with a reasonable idea, a reasonable opinion.
Little known fact, the first reporter on the scene of the Attica prison riot was Rich Funke. How did that come to be?
Well, because I lived in Batavia, I was closest to Attica of all the other reporters from Buffalo and Rochester, right? So I had worked at WBTA Radio, and when I got a call from Wham Radio, where I was working at the time, they said, get over to WBTA, pick up a tape recorder, and, get to Attica. And I was driving to Attica with the troopers at that point in my little gold Vega. And, I arrived there as a 21-year-old, fresh out of college punk kid, and ran up to the front of the prison, and there was a couple of troopers there with a shotgun. I said, I'm Rich Funke from Wham Radio, let me in. They said, let you in? We're not going in there. Get across the street with everybody else. We had a payphone, right, across the street.
I remember
and,
those.
unclipping it with the alligator clips and the whole thing, and putting the tape recorder, getting your feeds going, everything like that. Well, the first feed was fine. But, within an hour and a half, there was a lineup at the payphone. So I began walking up and down the street looking for somebody who would let me use their phone in their house. Hmm. And I came upon Mr. and Mrs. Stillinger, and Ray Stillinger was an Attica guard, and he was working at the time. And his wife said, you can use our house. I'd love to have you here because you'll keep me informed as to what's going on across the street. Hmm. And wound up being there for 4 days and watching it all unfold.
You spent most of your broadcast career in sports. A lot of people might not realize this, but the Rochester sports market is fantastic. I mean, you got NFL team an hour away, you got AAA baseball, AHL hockey, Syracuse University nearby, Oak Hill Golf Course, which has held majors. And looking back, I mean, that's a great opportunity, isn't it, for a sports reporter to that kind of market?
Yeah, it really is, because our population tends to travel for the big time stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We travel down the road to SU, we travel up the road to Buffalo, right? So, and it's great. But we also have the opportunity to watch athletes on their way up, right? We have AAA baseball with the Red Wings.
And, I went and saw Cal Ripken when I was a kid.
Sure.
Play at Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You see the Amherst grow up to become Buffalo Sabres. I think what we're known for probably on a national level more is Oak Hill, frankly. Mm-hmm. The incredible job that they've done with the U.S. Opens and PGA Championships and Ryder Cups and all that stuff.
All right, we'll finish up with some rapid-fire questions here.
Sure.
Most memorable moments covering sports in the Rochester market?
Well, certainly watching the Buffalo Bills lose to Super Bowl 25 of the Giants.
In Tampa,
that was memorable, and probably tied with that was watching Syracuse finally win that championship down in New Orleans, national title.
Most memorable news moment you either covered or lived through in Western New York?
Be the Attica riots for sure, and the carnage that was left after that, and how that all unfolded.
Best Buffalo Bills player to interview?
Steve Tasker, without a doubt.
Who's now in the media, that makes sense, right?
Right.
Most aggravating Bills player to interview?
Bruce Smith.
I thought that would be your answer. Best Jim Boeheim story?
Best Jim Boeheim story. I'm at Monroe Golf Club after SU had won the national championship. Jim agreed to do a live shot with me, and the live shot went down, and we sat there for I don't know, maybe 15 minutes trying to get this on and get it in within the framework of the newscast. And Boeheim looked at me. He said, I like you, Rich, but I don't love you. I'm going. He took his microphone off and he left.
A little more serious here. Toughest vote as a state senator?
Toughest vote as a state senator. Well, probably my first budget, because there are, you know, and then you begin to realize what it's like to govern, right? Because you think you're going to come down here and you're going to vote yes or no on everything that you, yes on everything you like. And then there's some stuff over there that you have to hold your nose on. And sometimes that becomes problematic. But that's when you're in the majority, you have to do that.
Finally, favorite thing to do in Rochester or the Rochester area on a day off?
Play golf. We have
favorite spots.
I think we have the greatest golf courses in New York State, by and large, throughout our community, that unmatched by any other region in the state. So, yeah, I mean, what else can you do at 68 years old? You know, you get to swing a golf club. Yeah. I can't play football anymore. So,
Senator Rich Funke, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for taking the time, man. I appreciate it.
You can find our podcasts on our website, nynow.org. or on apps like iTunes. If you like what you hear, leave us a review. This week's show will drop Friday afternoon with any late-breaking news on a budget. I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for listening, and until then,
Excelsior!